not alone, save your friend. In dark Gethsemane, alone he drained the bitter cup and suffered there for me. Alone, alone, he bore it alone. He gave himself to save his own. He suffered, bled and died alone, alone. It was alone the Savior stood in pilot judgment hall. Alone the crown of thorns he wore, forsaken thus by all. Alone, alone, he bore it all alone. He gave himself to save his own.
Couldn't this hour reach you again today with another message from the Word of God?
This is Evangelist John A. Horn of Atchison, Kansas. Might you like to call attention, please, to various portions of the Word of God? As a matter of fact, we shall cite some six or seven, or perhaps even more, prepared things, or shall I say, preparation. And we shall turn first to the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 10, and we'll read there, beginning at about verse 1, that says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have feasts to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." And so we're going to say a little about the body that was prepared our Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you were to turn to the Gospel by St. Luke chapter 1 and about verse 7, we read of a prepared people. And in the Gospel by St. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 4, we have a dinner prepared. And in the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 16, we read of a city that is prepared. That's an eternal habitation. And then we read of good works in the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 2, and about verse 10. And this is what we call a demonstration of a work that has been wrought already in the soul by the Spirit of God. And then we read in the Gospel by St. Matthew, chapter 20, and about verse 23, of a prepared glory. This, of course, is the exaltation, the day of exaltation, not only for our Lord Jesus Christ, but all who are in association with Him. And then finally, we read in the Gospel, chapter 25 and verse 41, of a fire prepared. And of course, this is a judgment fire or of a condemnation. Now, shall we go back, please, to the initial text? That is to say, a body prepared. That is, a body prepared for our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, I should like to notice with you a few interesting things in this interesting, outstanding 10th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. We have, for instance, the first of all, that is to say, from verses 1 down to about the end of verse 15, we have the Father's will. Secondly, we have the Son's perfect work. And then finally, we have the Spirit's witness. And so, you can say that the Trinity is seen united and as a unit engaged in bringing first glory to God and salvation to mankind. And it's nice to know that it is the Father's will. Wonderful to know His perfect will. And then it's nice to know of a perfect work too. Now, I do not know who may be listening in to me today. Perhaps you have turned out in your lifetime some things that you may be exceedingly proud of. And you'd say of them, well, they're almost perfect. But you wouldn't say, I'm sure of that, that it couldn't be possibly improved upon. You say, well, it could be better. But you know, when the Son accomplished the work of redemption and salvation, He said, when He was upon Calvary, He uttered those triumphant words, "It is finished." And the work that He finished was a perfect work. Nothing could be added to it, nor anything taken away from it. It was perfect. Perfect in every sense of the word. And then finally we have the Spirit's witness to all this. And so the Spirit has been, from the day that our Lord Jesus Christ took His seat in the glory, that is exactly 10 days later, the Spirit of God was sent down into the world and took up His abode in the church. The church formed into the one body. But He has been witnessing from then till now as to the perfections of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's a perfect work that He does testify to. And we're so glad that it is a perfect work. You know, it's difficult, most difficult, to get men and women to see that. In other words, when men and women, or even boys and girls who may become exercised and anxious about their soul's relationship to God and eternity and where they're going to spend their eternity, they immediately begin to try to turn out something or to put themselves in a frame of mind that they think would be acceptable to God, or to offer to Him something that would appease His wrath and His anger and give them just a little acceptance before Him. But you know, you can never gain the favor of God. Now listen, if you want to gain the frown and the disfavor of the God of heaven, you just try coming to Him and adding something to the perfect work of the Lord Jesus Christ, or try to make yourself more acceptable to Him. We'd have to say to you, and I'm sure this would be indicated by the frown of our God, that you are looking in the wrong direction. And so what we would like to do is to get men and women to cast their deadly doings down, get them, so to speak, to the very end of themselves, and to fix their eyes upon our blessed, adorable Savior, Jesus Christ, the perfect Son, the spotless Son of God. And if you could see that what he accomplished as the sacrifice for guilt and for sin met the claims of God in the fullest possible manner, then there would be no hesitation on your part in coming to him. Now, I think this needs to be stressed and re-stressed in every message that's given, because the speaker knows what it is to not only proclaim the Word of God, the gospel of the grace of God publicly, and also from house to house, and to visit personally with souls that are frequently in exercise and with desire to know the Savior. But this is the thing that's so appalling, and this is what we meet so frequently again and again. Men and women are trying to put themselves in a frame of mind or in a position where God will show them favor. Now, if I can just bring, perhaps God would in turn show me a little favor. So we'd like to say to you, if you want to be in a position where you can be accepted of him, you first come to the end of yourself and then cast all your deadly doings down and rest your faith in the accomplished redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ, and rest your all upon that marvelous statement that came from his lips, "It is finished." And when you rest your soul on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will know what it is to have rest and peace. And by the way, looking first of all at number one, and we like to think of it in this respect, number one of the seven prepared things, the first and the outstanding is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it says of him, "Wherefore when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." You see, he had a body prepared for him in which to tabernacle and in which to suffer and also to die. And so we're here to tell you that this sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ ended all sacrifices forever. As a matter of fact, there was practically rivers of blood in the Old Testament, in Jewish economy, sacrifice in the morning, a sacrifice in the evening, and then on special occasions, countless numbers of offerings were slain to appease the wrath of God. And I shall tell you, just as I conclude, that they did not put away sin, they simply covered over, made an atonement or covered over sin until the one all-efficient sacrifice should come, namely our Lord Jesus Christ, who put away sin forever and forever. Now indeed we can say, as we sometimes do, "Hallelujah, what a Savior! What a Savior Jesus is! He is mine, and I am his." And so that one who was here in the body that was prepared for him who ended all sacrifices could say, and he did say, "Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." Now the first man failed to do the will of God, and man to the whole of the Old Testament and even down in through the New Testament, there's no one who has ever perfectly fulfilled the will of God apart from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, I shall tell you right at this moment that it's the will of God that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Isn't it wonderful that the one who fulfilled the claims of God, and then in turn, now God does come out with his hands untied to men and women and say, "It is the will of God that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, whoever you are. It's the desire of God that you might be reached and saved for his name's sake. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Now, if you enjoyed the message you've been listening to and desire further spiritual help, we're available. This is the address that will reach us. Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas. May God richly bless you for the glory of his name.